Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for the awesome wonder of your name, Father. And as you continue to unveil the reality of your name, making us understand that who you are and all that you are actually saves us, Father. Who you are and all that you are actually transforms us. That the reality of who you are and all that you are, Father, is a reality that transforms us and makes us a new creation, Father. Brings into us purpose and function, Father. Brings into us a sense of destiny. Brings into us a sense, O God, of truly having a purpose, O God. A purpose in all eternity. A purpose in which, O God, we are being fashioned and formed, Father. A purpose in which, O God, we are being unveiled as a new creation. A purpose in which, O God, you are unveiling, O God, the treasures of your heart. In Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, Father. You're bringing forth a new creation. You're bringing forth, O God, a provision, O God, of such matchless proportions, Father. That, Lord, it's going to unveil us as sons of the living God, sons of the Most High God, a priesthood, O God, a royal priesthood, Father, of kings and prophets, Father. And so, Father God, as you unveil, O God, your name, Yahweh Rohai, within us, Father, we pray that we will come to understand that your name, O God, is not a theology, Lord. Your name is a reality. Your name is life, Lord. Your name is, in fact, the bread of life, Father. Your name is the light of life, Father. Your name, O God, is the door in which, O God, we move and have our being, Father. Your name, O God, is the reality in which, O God, we are fed, we are led, we are protected, we are delivered, we are brought into purpose, Father. Your name unveils in power. Your name, O God, becomes in us the way, the truth, and the life, Lord. Your name unveils us, O God, as branches of the true vine, Father, bearing fruit, O God, in the abundance of who you are and all that you are. And all this is meant to come alive in us, O God, as you truly work the realities of your name into us by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And as this realization is manifested within us, we are set free from the law of sin and death. And we come forth, O God, as a new creation, Father. So we want to celebrate the voice of your word. We want to celebrate the word that you are performing in our lives. We just want to bow our hearts before you and say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for doing in us, O God, what we would not have imagined in and of ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the law is fulfilled. And behold, the fulfillment of the law is awesome and glorious. It is the unveiling of the bright morning star, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the prophets are not just promises, O God, but they are realities to be unveiled in each one of us, Lord. Realities to be unveiled amongst us. Realities to be unveiled through us, Father. The body of Christ across the world in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile. So, Father God, we bless you. That in the unveiling of the bright and morning star, Father, in the unveiling of his fullness from our hearts by the Spirit, Lord, we are being manifested as a brand new creation. We are being manifested as creatures of awesome promise, Father. So we want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for making your word alive to us. And we pray that as your word grows in us, Father, we will understand, O God, that your word grows in accordance with who you are and with all that you are. And when your word is manifested in who you are and all that you are, your word brings into us the realities of your salvation. Your word becomes in us, O God, new life, Father. Your word brings into us, O God, the reality, O God, of being a people blessed, anointed, and opened, O God, to new things, O Lord. So, Father, we ask you to bless us today, Father, by continuing to manifest your word deep into us, Father, that we will live by who you are and live by all that you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject, Yahweh Rohai. Unveiling the name of God. You realize that God's name is not a theory. God's name is unveiled as you choose to discover that name, as you choose to unveil that name. Every aspect of God's name is a reality that is to be experienced in our lives. And that is tremendous. That at the heart of what God wants to do with his name is to manifest his name so that we will live by who he is and live by all that he is. That we will realize the manifold blessings of his word that stands in accordance with who he is and all that he is. so that we will be blessed in amazing proportions, so that we will become a blessing to the creation that He means to fashion. So you and I are creatures of promise. We are instruments that God wants to use. And He's going to fashion us as instruments as He works in us a new creation. So this new creation that God works in us comes as He manifests His voice into us. So let's turn to John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In laying down his life for the sheep, Jesus has given us his life. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. So Jesus is telling us something of awesome proportions here. That his sheep can know him even as he has known the Father. There is an intimacy that is the basis of us receiving the voice of God. The Good Shepherd speaks. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So the Lord speaks. And his voice is abundant waters, as we looked at last week. And we said, we made the point that the voice of the Lord is a reality that opens to us as we come to know him, right? It is in an intimacy that you are tuned in to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is not merely a soft, silent voice. The voice of God is a witness, and it's a manifold witness. And it's a witness that opens in an intimacy. An intimacy is at the heart of everything that God has commanded us in His Word. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When God declares the law, He is telling us that that is the reality He wants to establish and fulfill in our hearts. And the reason Jesus Christ laid down His life for us is so that God would be able to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ in us and enable us in turn to come alive to God in the same way that Jesus knew God. And that's powerful. That's very, very powerful. So if you and I can come alive to God, the potentials of our life are literally limitless. But to come alive to God, you have to come alive to Him in the way He wants to make Himself known. We cannot know God in the way we want to know Him. We can only know God in the way in which He makes Himself known to us. So God has to manifest something inside of us to enable us to hear Him. And that's why God has given us the Word of God. The Word of God is the means by which God defines in us the witness that will enable His voice, or the many waters of His voice, to come alive to us, that we may draw from wells of living water, that we may in fact release rivers of living water from our innermost being. And all of the water of the Word, the Rhema Word, is a witness. It is a witness pregnant with life. It is a witness pregnant with potential. It is a witness that Revelation 3:14 calls the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So in this witness, God means to create us, make us His sons. In this witness, God means to unfold in us all that He has ordained in our lives from the foundations of the world. For God has known us from before the foundations of the world. We are each fearfully and wonderfully made. The psalmist says that the sum total of God's thoughts over each one of our lives is vast. So there is a great purpose that God has, and you and I are being invited to hear and listen to what God's purpose is, to receive it, to let God fashion us and form us so that we can become all that God wants us to become. How is it that we can come to know God or hear the voice of God in the same way that Jesus heard the voice of the Lord, of the Lord His God? Right? Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Right? So how is that going to come about? How is Jesus going to manifest in us a knowing in the same way in which the Father knew him and he knew the Father, how is that going to be manifested in us? That is what we want to talk about, all right? Because my sheep, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, right? They follow me because they know me, right? They hear my voice, right? So it's all tied in an intimacy. But how does God manifest that reality within us? And so we come to this amazing word called faith, right? Let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ, by the word of God. Rhema of God. So faith, in the King James Bible, it is rhema of God. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. Right? So what does God give us through faith? When you hear the word of God that comes to you as the word of Christ, what is God telling you? Right? If you put the two translations together, God is telling you a revelation. Right? The two translations of the Bible, God is telling you, in the two different manuscripts of the Bible, it's telling you that the word of God and the word of Christ, the word of God is revealed to you through the word of Christ. Right? It manifests to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. So what is faith? Faith is substance. Substance of hope. It is in that substance that God manifests, right, all that he unfolded in the fullness of Jesus Christ. What he manifested in the life of Jesus, what he unfolded in the life of Jesus, he can manifest it to us because there is a communication of substance. And that substance, right, faith is the substance of hope. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. So if you hear by the voice of the Lord, the rhema of God, you realize that the substance of the word that is communicated to you is of Christ Jesus. Is of Christ Jesus. Right? And that substance enables you to receive and realize in the King James Bible, it reads Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. In the New American Standard, it says, So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Praise the Lord. Word of Christ, word of God, rhema. That rhema that is of the spirit and life of Jesus. John 6:63 that we talked about last week. That it is that word of Christ that explains the word of God to us. That word of Christ explains the word of God to us in the substance that is of Jesus Christ. That substance of Jesus Christ is the means by which God defines all things in us and amongst us. It is because God can define something in us in the substance of Jesus Christ. That's why all things are possible. That's why we can be perfect even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. As Matthew chapter 5 verse 48 demands. If you and I can receive of the substance of Christ Jesus, and if that substance of Christ Jesus is perfected and completed in us in circumcised hearts, then the substance of Christ Jesus that is worked into us will enable us to function as Christ Jesus functioned. So Jesus makes that declaration that his sheep can know him and hear his voice. Even as he knew the Father. And lo and behold, you find that there is an awesome potential in all of our lives. Because of the supernatural manifestation of this substance that is of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God is designed to manifest that substance. So let's start with a definitive reality of the word that God has given us. It's called the word of the cross. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God. So through the word of the cross, God manifests the power of God. I want to describe that today to you. That the word of the cross, the Greek word for logo, for word there is logos. Right? If you go on in verse 23, it says, "We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness, but to this, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Right? Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right. So through the word of the cross, God manifests a power, and that power is meant to unveil us to everything that God has for us. It is through the cross that God has provided for us. So you remember the name Yahweh Yireh. And Yahweh Yireh is an unveiling of the name of God in the expression of the Son being open to our hearts through His sacrifice. Through what Jesus Christ gave of Himself on the cross, God defines a realm of provision that is abiding. Everything is there forever. It is provision in the abiding. All right, let us. So, how does the word of the cross translate to us in Rhema terms? In Rhema terms, the word of the cross becomes in us a witness. So, John the apostle tells us that he who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has the witness in himself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. It is the unique witness that God has given us. All right? So in verse 7 and 8, before he tells us that, he tells us that there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. We are reading this from the New King James Bible. "For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one." All right, so the witness of Spirit, water, and blood is the witness of the cross, right? So the word of the cross is meant to define this witness. And through this witness, the power of God is released into us, so that the power of God is resident and alive in us on an online way. All right, and an online process. Let me look at another verse to tell you this. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that there is a reality of power that works within us. It says here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us," or the power that works within us. So there is a power that works within us. Amen. And that power works in us in accordance with what God has given us through the cross. So that word power there is the Greek word dunamis. And it represents resurrection power. The power that God invested in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. And that power is the power for a new man. But the basis of that power is called the word of the cross. And God takes the word of the cross and he manifests it inside of us in a rhema reality called a living witness in blood, water, and spirit. And that living witness is meant to be a living expression of the power that God supplies. Are you listening? All right? And this living witness that God manifests inside of us has the potential of bringing forth in us the abundant waters of God's voice. And it's an online reality. Right? So if you look at the witness, it is blood, water, and spirit. What is water? The Rhema word. Right? What is water? The voice of the Lord. What is spirit? The spirit is the anointing of Christ. Right? So hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's the NASB. Right? The word that manifests in the spirit that Jesus has consecrated on the cross for us. The word that God explains to us through the testimony of Jesus. So if you receive the spirit and life of Jesus, all things are possible for you. Are you listening? Right? And that's what God is talking about, right? That power that God has invested in Christ Jesus through this sacrifice that is made manifest in us in a living witness, All right? And we've done so much of teaching on the witness. And that's at the heart of everything that we want to show or what we want to describe. Because in this witness, God is describing an online system. Right? And just as we see the amazing potentials of the internet and telecommunications and all those kinds of things in the natural world, you must understand that communication with God is infinitely greater. It functions on a far higher plane. It has got far higher potentials. Just imagine if you can be online with the living God. But to be online with the living God, you have to know Him. You have to love Him. And that's the process of change that God is working within us. Right? It involves changes in our character and our nature. Right? Just as a simple radio will tell you, if you tune on to a radio station, you have to tune in the right frequency before you can hear the voice. So God is telling us that unless you know God, you cannot tune in to what He's saying to you. Right? So as you are changed, you begin to tune in and tune in and tune in a greater measure to what God is really declaring, what God has available to you in His witness. Right? When God gave you the scriptures, He's telling you that He has a witness for you. And that witness is meant to be the basis on which you will live, move, and have your being in God. It is the means by which God will enable you to do all things. It is the means by which you will be enabled to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Why through Christ who strengthens you? You see, it is through Jesus Christ that God fine-tunes you to God. It is through Jesus Christ, through what He did, how He lived, how He communicated with God, that God defined the basis on which this communication was going to be established. Right? And this communication is communicated to you in the substance of the Lord Jesus' fullness. The substance that will enable you to receive and realize, right, realities that God defined in Him. Unless the right specifications are manifested within you, you cannot tune in to what God is saying, because you don't have a nature like that. You don't have an ability to tune in to God in your own natural strength, simply because you and I are sinful people. Our character does not desire the right things, right? There are so many things we know we should be doing, but we can't do them. So how are we going to do them? We're going to do them as God manifests to us the substance of Christ Jesus. Now the substance of Christ Jesus comes to you in His character, in His nature. It comes to you in His faith. It comes to you in His love. It comes to you with His thoughts. It comes to you with His witness. It comes to you with His spirit and His life. It comes to you in His wisdom, His knowledge, His understanding. It comes to you, right? In His strength, it comes to you. In His courage, it comes to you as the truth. It comes to you in the fear of the Lord. It comes to you in the same way in which Jesus looked at God. How did Jesus look at God? How did Jesus talk with God? How was Jesus able to obey God so perfectly? How was Jesus able to be alive to God all the time? So Jesus Christ is the blueprint for a new man. So the shepherd leads us by bringing the blueprint of Jesus Christ into our being. And he does it through this process called faith. But this process called faith is only going to work the way God wants it to work if you and I set our hope on God through Jesus Christ. Because it is in Jesus Christ that the right substance is manifested. You must understand that. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, it just gives you a general statement. Faith is the substance of hope. And there are many kinds of faith in the world. A crooked businessman who wants to make a $1 million knows how to exercise his faith crookedly. Am I right? He believes that he knows how to make money. He believes that he knows how to manipulate people and make a quick buck. He knows that's faith. Wrong kind of faith, but it's faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, a neutral statement is made. Faith is the substance of hope. So he sets his hope on making money. He sets his hope on the love of money. He sets his hope and he sets his ambitions on all that he wants just for himself. In order to make sure that the faith that we have is a true faith, God presented to us Jesus Christ and He said, fix your faith on Him. So that the substance of your hope fixed on Him will be of Him. Because that which comes to you of Him will be perfect. It will not be corrupt. Jesus would not have told a lie even if you had put Him on the cross and nailed Him to the cross. He would still not have lied. Jesus would not have denied God's purposes even if you had put Him through death. Jesus Christ would never have lied. Jesus Christ would never have denied the truth under any circumstances. We are not like that. So how does a person like you and me become what God wants us to be? God has to manifest in us the right substance. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to learn how to hear by the word of God. So many Christians spend time reading other people's books. No matter how many books you read, not one of those books will be the word of God ever. That's one of the reasons why when God led me to write, I wrote the book so that people will open the word of God, so that people will receive the thought patterns that God has in His word. Because the thought patterns that God has in His words are entirely beyond what the human race understands. And once you're open to the thought patterns that God has, you will be transformed and changed. God will bring forth in you things that you have never imagined before. Instead of taking somebody's ideas, of what use is somebody's ideas to you? What is important is what God has put inside of it. The purpose of the word of God is to give definition. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God manifested to you in Christ Jesus. It is the testimony of Jesus that explains the word of God to you in the right way. Are you listening? So you have to take the time to find out what the word of God is saying. And you have to understand it and pray it into your being. Now, to understand the word of God is fundamentally a mystery. Right? It is fundamentally a mystery. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 19. The last line on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. To make known the mystery of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the word of God explained through Jesus Christ. The gospel is the word of God explained through the testimony of Jesus. And the gospel is a mystery. What does that tell you? That the gospel needs to be opened in revelation knowledge. It has to be unveiled in revelation knowledge. The gospel of the Lord our God is a mystery. So God has to reveal it. It cannot be intellectually discerned. It has to be manifested in revelation knowledge. It has to be manifested in revelation knowledge. It has to be manifested in the spirit and life of Jesus. It has to be manifested to you in the witness and testimony of Jesus. Only through the testimony of Jesus can you understand what God is really saying. Simply because to understand the word of God, first you need a nature and a character. And Jesus supplies the nature and character. Through the life of Jesus, God defines how the word of God is to be realized. So Jesus' life and testimony on earth was an explanation of the word of God as it applied to the human being. So in the life and ministry and death of the Lord Jesus Christ and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God describes His word to us in Jesus Christ, in His character, in His nature, in His faith, in His love. And that's a mystery. It is hidden in Christ Jesus. It is hidden in Christ Jesus, and it has to be opened to us by the Holy Spirit. It has to be opened to us by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is why John 16 verse 13 says that it is the Spirit who gives life. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead you into all truth. John 16 verse 14 says, He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. Then Jesus says, All that the Father has is mine. John 16 verse 15. And He, the Holy Spirit, will manifest that reality to you. So you need to understand something. All that the Father has is Christ Jesus. And all that is manifested in Christ Jesus is open to you by the Holy Spirit. It is not of the intellect of man. So when we started this Bible school series, we said that God has to teach us by writing the word into our hearts. It has to be written into our hearts by the finger of God. So God symbolized that by taking Moses into Mount Sinai and giving him two tablets of the testimony. Two tablets, because those two tablets symbolize the law and the prophets. And in Exodus chapter 32 verse 16 it says that those tablets were the work of God, and the writing on those tablets were the writing of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 says that we are a letter of Christ written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone but on human hearts of flesh. Am I right? Alright? Human hearts of flesh, how are they manifested? In the substance of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Right? If you set your hope on Jesus, the substance of your hope will be of Him, and the flesh of your hearts will be His flesh. That's why in John 6:51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. This bread that I give is my flesh. Are you with me? That flesh is of the substance of His fullness. Are you with me? And that's how you get a heart of flesh. So in that heart of flesh, God is defining substance. He's defining, right? He's defining perfection. He's defining right use and right application into our beings. He's defining something through the Word of God, explaining it to us in the Spirit and life of Jesus. And if He does that, then all things are possible for you and me. Only we have to receive. Are you with me? So the gospel of the Lord is a mystery. It is not of the intellect of man. It has to be manifested to you as a revelation. So what is Paul talking about in Ephesians 6? Where does that come from, that thought pattern? It comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 29. The secret things are hidden in God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law. So in order for the Word of God to come alive in us, for the Word of God to be fully functional in us, the things that are hidden in God have to be revealed to us. And only then can you come alive to the things of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. It's only as you listen to the Rhema of God, as you take time to listen to the Rhema of God, praying that reality through tongues, that you begin to unveil the substance that will enable you to realize what God is saying. So if you pray in a tongue, what do you say? What does 1 Corinthians 14:2 say? That you are speaking in a mystery. Why mystery? You're entering into the hidden things of God. Are you listening? In Isaiah chapter 28 verse 9, it says, to whom would He teach knowledge? And to whom would He unveil the message? Words to that effect. Right? And then God says that He will speak to us through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. Why? Because that's the only way people like you and me can get into the mystery of God. How else can we do it? Because if we try and just analyze things from our intellect, our nature, our character, our thought processes, our predisposition towards things, our hidden ambitions, all our hidden agendas will become a hindrance to us receiving from God. But through tongues, God is opening to us, sidetracking all of our character and nature, and opening to us like a clean, right, line of communication that is not tainted by our corruption. But that line of communication is true as long as you are setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as you have the intent of receiving the word of God through the testimony of Jesus. And if you have the intent of receiving the word of God through the testimony of Jesus, then God will use tongues to communicate the word to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. And lo and behold, what happens? New thought patterns start unveiling inside of you. The witness that God has fashioned out of the word of the cross inside of you will start manifesting. There will be thought patterns that come alive inside of you, enabling you to receive and realize the thoughts of God. But they will always be consistent with the word of God. That's how you check out whether you are receiving of the right spirit or the wrong spirit. Yeah? That's how God is going to teach you. You cannot just learn things from God by applying your intellect. It doesn't work. In the long run, it does not work. You have to get into the mysteries of God. And to get into the mysteries of God, the only thing that God teaches you to do that is through tongues. He announces it in the prophets. And Paul calls it is part of the law. That means it's bringing into us what could not be done under the law. People tried to practice the word of God. People tried to observe the laws in their own efforts and they could not do it. Just because we rephrase it and call it a principle doesn't mean we can observe it. You can only observe a principle up to the point at which you can observe it. Beyond that, you cannot go. Are you with me? You know, sometimes we don't want to make the hard choices. Why don't we want to make the hard choices, even if we know it is true? Because there's some part of us that refuses to do so. Why do parents spoil their own children? Does it make sense to spoil your own children? But they do it. Repeatedly they do it. Thinking that that is love. But God's kind of love does not spoil you. God's kind of love is very corrective. It can be very disciplined. Right? It brings, right? He corrects you. He doesn't simply let you get away with anything you want to get away with. Right? You do the wrong thing, God will come and tell you about it. Right? He will correct you. If you don't listen to him, then he will correct you physically. Right? He will put you through a wilderness. Correct? He doesn't simply let you get away with anything and everything. Right? We can tell our parents a story and get away with things. Try telling God a story and see whether he'll let you go. Right? A simple example like that. Right? So parents who profess to love their children, spoil their children and say that it is love. Obviously, we don't know very much about love. So where does this word love come from? God has to define it. How does God demonstrate his love? By putting Jesus through the cross. You listening? Right? So how does God make us men of God? By asking us to pick up our cross and to follow. What is it God is bringing forth in our lives? The changes that are necessary for all of us. We can't have our own way. And if we do not understand that, then we are going to destroy our own lives and also destroy the lives of others. Sometimes we are even destroying the lives of those whom we say we love. That is utter foolishness. How are children spoiled? They're not born spoiled. Their parents spoil them. Why do their parents spoil them? Because of this so-called flaky word called love. Some fathers say, I was deprived in my childhood, therefore I will give my son everything he wants. Totally stupid. You're killing the kid. Never mind what he says. Doesn't matter how many lies the kid says. It's all right, I love him. That's not love. Love corrects. Love takes authority over a situation. Hello? You have to take authority over a situation. A husband has to take authority over his home, because ultimately you're responsible for the home. You can't turn around and blame your wife for it. And can't say, if I don't give in, she will make my life intolerable. Because God expects you to exercise your authority. God expects you to stand up and do what is right. And you will pay the consequences of doing something wrong. God will never withhold from you correcting you. You can read the whole scriptures. He corrects everyone. Even those he loved. And especially those whom he loved. So when God starts bringing things into us, he brings things into us because we do not know and understand what he is really saying. Simple words like wisdom and knowledge, right? God's idea of wisdom and knowledge and your idea and my idea of knowledge, totally different words. We can use the same words, but the meaning is totally different. Right? God says good and you and I say good. What our idea of good is and what God's idea of good is totally wrong. So in Christ Jesus, God defines. He defines his word. He defines character. He defines nature. He defines the use of the word of God. He defines obedience. He defines wisdom. He defines understanding. Christ Jesus, the Messiah, is the blueprint for a new man. So everything has to come out of the substance of his fullness. So he calls himself the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So Yahweh Rohai, the Lord God who is the shepherd, manifests himself as a man so that he can lay his life down for his sheep, so that his sheep will come to know him because of his love for them, that they will come to know him because he is prepared to labor with them, that they will come to know him and in the process of knowing him be able to receive his voice and be able to live by what he brings into their hearts, brings into their lives. On an online witness. It takes time to hear that witness. It takes time to function in that witness. But as the word of God is manifested inside of you, the substance of Christ is manifested through that word. And the substance of Christ gives true definition to the word of God. And when you choose to live that word of God in the name of Jesus, you find that that word is perfected inside of you. That substance of his fullness is perfected inside of you. And you come forth a different person. Your value systems change. Your attitudes change. Your words change. Your thought processes change. Are you listening, brethren? That's the only way in which you can change. The answers are always in the Lord Jesus Christ. The answers are always in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So in the prophets, God announces that through tongues he will give us rest. That we don't have to struggle to realize the deep things of God. That the deep things of God are meant to be manifested as a rest. That too is part of God's word. It's part of what the God's word that is called the Sabbath. So God is saying, you can only learn and receive of me as you learn to rest in me. It's not going to be an evolutionary struggle. It is going to be a rest. You have to learn how to rest in him and trust him and allow him to do the work that he wants to do in your life. There will be no shortcuts. But God says, you can trust me. You can trust me that I will complete the good work I have begun in your life. Are you listening? Amen. So it's very important for you and me to understand these things. Alright, so knowing God, knowing the shepherd, comes through the nature and character of Jesus that is worked into you. When you receive of the substance of him, you become a partaker of him. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Notice that he says you can become a partaker of Christ. How do you become a partaker of Christ? The evidence of that is that you have a confidence. Now the Hebrew word for confidence there, I mean the Greek word for confidence there, is called hypostasis. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, that word hypostasis was translated as substance. Faith is a substance of hope. Now it says, you have become a partaker of Christ, and you have a confidence inside of you, and that confidence is represented by the word hypostasis. So that confidence is because of the substance. And that substance is of Christ. And so the word tells you, you have become a partaker of Christ, because you have received of the substance of Him, and it has resulted in you having a confidence in Him. Yeah? And that confidence is a God-given confidence. It is not man's cooked-up confidence. It just becomes something that you know. It's a reality that is resident inside of you. You know and you know and you know. It's unshakable, because it has been defined in substance. Now in that substance, you have been fine-tuned to receive and hear the Lord at that level in which the substance has been manifested. Can you see that? So it's a growing process. Right? The evil one always tries to discourage us. Oh, you are not praying enough. You're not doing this hard enough. You're not doing that hard enough. You know? And he gets us on a guilt trip. Once you get on a guilt trip, you cannot rest in God anymore. Right? Yes, there are many things not right with us. But what we must understand is that through the cross of Jesus Christ, God has done a complete work. Right? So Colossians chapter 2 verse 11 says, in Him, in Christ Jesus, we are made complete. Right? So you must understand what the Word of God is telling you. That you must understand that as far as God is concerned, He means to complete you. He will complete you. He has completed you in predestined terms. Right? And as long as you are willing to walk in that reality that God will complete you, He who began a good work in you is faithful and true to finish it. Because His witness inside of you is true and faithful. It is the beginning of the creation of God. Because it's the creation of God, how is God creating you? He's creating you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. What is He using to create you? He's using substance to create you. What substance? The substance that has comes forth as you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. As you set your hope on what He has completed for you on the cross. As you set your hope on Him, God has opened to you a spiritual reality. A reality that is grace upon grace. Right? And every change in your life is manifested as a result of grace upon grace. It is the work of God rather than the work of man. Are you listening? But it does not happen instantaneously. Because when God takes the word and He manifests it inside of you, He wants you to hear the word. Most of us are too lazy to hear the word. We rather hear some airy-fairy story and say, Pastor, just lay hands on me, let's finish the job. Right? We want to do that. Right? We want gifts and we want to get gifts from God and just go out and do our own thing. Oh Lord, I'm going to go and save the whole world. Who appointed you as Savior of the world? So what happens? We mislead a whole bunch of people. We operate gifts with all kinds of carnal intents. And we damage so many human lives. Why? Because we are trying to do our best. God never asks us to do our best. He said, I have given you my best. You receive my best. And you realize my best. And you manifest my best. And everything I bring forth in Jesus Christ will be finished completely. It will be perfect. Because I didn't make any mistakes in unveiling my Son, says the Lord. Are you listening? But we get stirred up with our emotions, right? We get angry. We do not want to listen to God. We want to do things our way. Brother, your basic problem is that you have always done things your way. Isn't it utterly foolish to continue to insist that you're going to do things your way? So when are you going to learn the lesson? When you're 65? When you have gone through all your success stories and you find out that it's not a success, it was all a lie? Why don't you be a little smart and look at the next door fellow who is 65 years old? Look at his life and talk to him and see why his life is like that. Why is he so unhappy? And then you will find that there's nothing inside of him. So you have to have the courage to make the right changes in your life. You make the right changes in your life by setting your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving all that the Scripture has for you. The Word of God says that you should speak in tongues, so that you can get into the mysteries of God. Why do people argue about that? Just because some people do mistakes doesn't mean everything in the world. I mean, the cross of Jesus Christ is used in satanic rites. Does that mean the cross is not true? Come off it, guys. If the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament says, I speak in tongues more than you all, he's trying to tell you something pretty clearly, isn't it? Yet so many people argue as if they know more than him. No, arguments like, you know, Jesus didn't speak in tongues. If you are like Jesus, you also don't have to speak in tongues, brother. The problem is you need to speak in tongues because you are precisely not like Jesus. That's why you need to speak in tongues. Right? You've got a heart like stone and you've got an ox-like character. You are a stubborn ox. Right? That's why you need to speak in tongues. God has to help you. God has to do something for you supernaturally. Praise the Lord. So let's hear the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and take hold of those things that God calls the mysteries. The Word, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Gospel of God is a mystery, which means it has to be revealed. And revelation is something that comes to the heart of man, and it comes through a witness manifested in substance. The substance is of Christ Jesus, the witness is of his crucifixion. So the entire reality of revelation knowledge is manifested through the cross. It is the very heart of God's provision. It is provision in the abiding. It is not provision of air and water which you drink and then you feel thirsty again. It is not something of the transitory. Yes, God provides in the transitory. But in Jesus Christ, God provides in the abiding. In Jesus Christ, God manifests inside of you realities that will never pass away. Realities that will keep on building forever and forever and forever. You realize that we cannot live in the transitory. We die in the transitory. It's experiential for the human being, all of us. As we get older, so many parts of our body just start failing. It is entirely experiential. What God is trying to tell us, you cannot live by the transitory. You have to realize the indestructible. That which is of the abiding. And all that is of the abiding is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And that's what the shepherd wants to bring into our lives. The abiding. The reality of green pastures. The reality of still waters. The reality of being able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The reality of having no more wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack. But how are you going to get into a position where you have everything that you want, everything that you desire? First, your wants have to be changed. If God panders to the wants that we have currently in our hearts, it is like sending us to the executioner. Right? So even the reality of our wants have to be transformed. Right? God has to give us a whole new thought process. God has to give us a whole new will. God has to transform our emotions, our character, our nature, our thought processes. Our whole thinking needs to be changed. So God does that by manifesting the substance. And the substance comes as you hear the word of God. Rhema cometh by the hearing. Right? I mean, faith cometh by hearing, by the rhema of God. That faith is substance. The right substance, the substance that is of Jesus Christ. And if you receive of the substance of Jesus Christ, all that you do will be right and true. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. Because that which you receive from Jesus Christ will have no desire to sin. Right? It will come with a character and a nature that will do the right thing at all times. Right, so when the seed of the word, the seed of the word, the seed of Christ was planted inside of you, you were born again. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23. Right? And what happened when the seed of the word was planted inside of you? A whole new reality was revealed inside of you. That was the first instance of you receiving revelation knowledge. When you were born again. Suddenly you realize that there were different things than what you just felt and you tasted and you lived in the world system. Here was a totally different reality. And this totally different reality was birthed inside of you. Are you listening? So in that simple picture, God showed you dramatically what He can do with you as He brings the word inside of you. So if you hear the word and receive of the substance, energizing that realizing that substance, right? Through tongues, right? Asking God to release that word inside. What is contained inside that word? That you are a letter of Christ. What does that really mean? Who knows what does that mean? Does Paul know what does it mean? No, he has a little idea of what it means, but the real reality of you being a letter of Christ is in the heart of Christ, because he is saying that you are his letter. So the idea of you being his letter is in his heart. So how do you get that letter out of his heart into your heart? Right? That is part of what is called the mystery of Christ. Paul says, I labor with you until Christ is formed in you. And then in Ephesians chapter 3 he says that the Holy Spirit, I pray that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you in your inward parts so that Christ will dwell in you by faith. So why does he do those things? Simply because the Holy Spirit has to bring into you something of Christ that cannot be discerned by the natural man or obtained by the efforts of the human mind or the human race. It has to be manifested by the work of God. So the Holy Spirit has to strengthen you with power in your inner man so that Christ will dwell in you by faith. Are you with me? So there is a witness. That witness has got power. That power has, by the Spirit, that witness can receive and realize the reality of Christ in you. The hope of glory. So that's what God is talking about. So if you and I are going to be attuned to what God is saying, right? Christ has to be formed in us. Christ has to indwell us. The Holy Spirit has to strengthen us with power in this witness that came to us through the cross. So that witness of the cross was planted inside of you the moment you were born again. When you were born again, you came alive to the fact that God is real. When your spirit baptized, that witness is brought into a functional position. Now you can function by the Spirit in Christ Jesus through that witness. That witness now is life. New life. And in that witness of new life, you are becoming a new creation. You are being created in Christ Jesus to do things differently. And the Good Shepherd leads you through that reality so that you will learn how to do these things step by step by step by step. Amen. Remember, the Word of God is in your mouth and in your heart. Between your mouth and your heart, there is a witness. And that witness is what God is interested in developing. Because through that witness, the manifold waters of the voice of God will flow through you. So learn how to do that. Praise the Lord. Only in revelation knowledge can you open your mouth and find out what your heart is realizing from God. That's a clear sign of moving in revelation knowledge. The same thing happens when you speak in tongues. You open your mouth and your heart starts receiving new thoughts. Your heart starts seeing visions. Your heart starts receiving the flow of God's thoughts. Are you listening? Right? All right. So when you minister, what are you supposed to speak when you minister? Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 10 and 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That means you speak as if God is speaking through you, the spontaneous word of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That too comes through your witness. There is inbuilt into your witness and ability. According to how God wants you to function. And that ability will continue to grow day by day as God molds you and shapes you and brings you in tune with what He has purposed in your life. It's very exciting to find out how God wants to use you. It's not comfortable because God will deal with your character and your nature. So many people don't want that. You cannot be blessed with the nature and character that you and I have now. Surely we understand that. Hello? You're bringing up your children and you want to bless them. If their character and their nature does not change, all you give them will be wasted. Now you can earn much money and, you know, have a whole stable of companies and hand it to your favorite son. But if your favorite son is a skunk, then goodbye to all your hard work. Because he will just waste it simply because he cannot appreciate it. And one of the key reasons why wealth dissipates is because the generations that follow have never learned the lessons. Came easy. See, God doesn't give anything easy. Why does He not give it easy? Yes, He says, ask and it shall be given to you. But as you grow in the Lord, you realize some of it comes 20 years after that. Right? God anointed David as king at the age of what, 17 or something like that? When did he become king? How many years later? Right? He almost lost his life how many times? So why did God allow him to go through all that? So that he could mold him. Even then the process was not perfect, correct? So we need a new David. So we have the root of David and the offspring of David, the bright morning star, Jesus Christ. So you have to learn the lessons of life. You want to minister to people. If you can't correct your own children, what do you want to minister to people? If you don't have the discipline to make right decisions in bringing up your own kids, who are you going to minister to? That's why the Messiah was raised for ministry in a carpenter's workshop. Not in a school of theology. Don't get me wrong, there was a school of theology, the school of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And in that kind of an environment, the Bible writes that Jesus grew from wisdom to wisdom. He found favor with God and with man. Hello? So where you live, where you live your life, what you do every day, how you speak, how you act, how you behave. A husband who cannot love his wife cannot minister. A wife who cannot submit to her husband cannot minister either. Very basic things. Right? Both are complementary. But in both, God is doing a work differently according to the nature of the man and the nature of the woman. So a woman who does not know how to submit isn't going to go very far in the kingdom of God. For the same reason, a man who does not know how to love fairly and honestly is not going to go anywhere else in the kingdom of God either. So those things are not going to change. What happens if you keep on pursuing things without trying to get your nature fixed? Ultimately, you fall in the ministry. Right? It's been repeated over and over again in the whole of church history. Points to people who had an honest calling in God and then destroyed it. Why? Out of their own stubborn, silly ways. Right? Are you with me? So there is no choice in the matter. You have to be. Right? Like him who has been given to you. You have no choice but to receive him. And when you receive, he's going to be a bed of roses. He's going to deal with your character and your nature. Surely you must understand that has to be done. Surely you and I have common sense to understand that we have to change. Right? Praise the Lord. Because if we don't change, nothing will last. Right? Put on your Santa Claus uniform and go out and give Christmas presents next Christmas. And then the next day go and see what happened to all your presents. All these nice, cute looking children, right? Also adorable and so lovable. Give them all the nice gifts. Make sure you buy expensive gifts so that when you see it all being torn apart, it'll hit you in where it hurts. Right? Then you will learn the lesson, isn't it? Right? That these adorable little children are perhaps not so adorable after all. That it needs a work of God to make them adorable. Yeah? Yes. So you are a parent. Are you prepared to do the work to put your children right before God? I don't mean beat the daylights out of them. But I mean, you need to discipline them. No is no. Right? Forgiveness without repentance is meaningless. Hello. Forgiveness without repentance is utterly stupid. And if you don't check the kid, what is he going to do? He's going to take it as a habit throughout life. What happens after that? Who has killed whom? Who is going to hold that kid's hand after you are gone? Who is going to bail him out after you are gone? Are you with me? That's why God insists that we learn how to discover His grace. Alright? Because grace comes with the corrections, but grace comes also with a lot of forgiveness. But it's forgiveness not just handed out on a platter either. Right? If you try and lay things by the law, it does not work. Because the law can only sentence you to death, ultimately. So praise the Lord. So God has opened to us a wonderful reality. A reality of partnership with the Good Shepherd. To live our life with Him. Don't turn down that offer. If you want to be blessed, you have to come alive to the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for you. Who has chosen to enable you to hear His voice and to know Him. Even as He has known the Father. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that in the substance of the Master's fullness, Lord, You have opened to us, O God, an awesome potential, an awesome future, Father. Because this substance is going to be defined in a reality called a witness, Lord. And that witness, your word calls the true and faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that witness of the beginning of the creation of God will enable each one of us to rise into the destiny that you have for us. Enable us to understand that this witness is built through the word of God. This witness is built in substance by the hearing of the word of God. That as we hear the word of God, Father, there is a rhema power, O God, that is made manifest inside of us. The word of Christ's power, the rhema of Christ's power, the spirit and life of Jesus that carries his power and is released into us. And day by day, line upon line, precept upon precept, the power of the living God is perfected and completed into us. Our character changes, our thoughts change, our free will is transformed, our being is enlightened. We are strengthened to make the difficult choices in life. We are strengthened, O God, to overcome our flesh. We are strengthened to overcome, O God, the darkness of this world. We are strengthened in your love. And the cross is the power of your love. The word of the cross, which is the power of God, is a reality of the love of God. The love that disciplines, the love that corrects, the love that judges, the love that molds, the love that transforms, the love that perseveres, the love that forgives, the love that manifests in truth, the love that bears all things, the love that does not fail, the love that cannot fail, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you mean to unveil, O God, this witness inside of us. And in this witness, as you tune this witness to your witness, Father, we come online with you, Lord. And the potentials of our life become matchless and limitless, Lord. So we thank you. Thank you for your design. Thank you for your plan. We understand a little bit about it, but there's so much more to reveal, to be realized, Father. But we hear your words. It is a true and faithful witness, Lord. So we bless you and thank you for Jesus, the guarantee. We bless you and thank you for the word of the oath that is in the substance of the Master's fullness that is being fulfilled in each one of us. And we become partakers of the divine nature. We become partakers of Christ. And the mystery of God is being unveiled in us. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.